You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ back in the saddle here. Bucky is out, but that just gives me a good opportunity to say hello to my good friend Lance Zierlein. Lance, how you doing, bud?
We say, DJ, I missed you at the big content summit. You were on a cruise, or I don't know, you were doing something with the family. Have you been out? Right. How long have you been out? What have you been doing?
No, I've been back since then. So I came back in and I've been out, hit a bunch of training camps and I had to miss the one earlier this week because I was not too far from you driving my son back to Baylor for his sophomore year. So got his car dropped off there. His year two, you know, they get off campus, Lance. We got to get into the apartment. And, you know, it's funny, like you look in there and you think back to when you're a kid, like he's like, this is great. It's a big apartment. There's five guys, you know, they got four bedrooms. It's big. It's, you know, big place there in Waco. And I'm just looking up there. I'm like, golly, that looks definitely like some water damage up there. That's got to be some mold. Definitely some mold issues going on around
here.
Were you able
to experience the heat dome 2023, what we're calling heat dome, where it's this incredible heat that won't move. We've been over 100 degrees for like 25 straight days. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it has been pretty hot in East County here in San Diego where I live. And you know, I'm not above complaining a little bit about heat. And then I drove the car, and as we're kind of getting through New Mexico, entering into Texas, I mean, mind you, Arizona was not wasn't blustery in Arizona part of that drive. But then we get into Texas, it was triple digits, and it was a little sticky out there.
Yeah, it's a triple digits with humidity is a different. It's a completely different. It's oppressive, and it's not very fun. It's kind of funny because the Miami Houston Texans are having a joint practice with Miami, and a couple of the Miami beat writers are like, this is bad even for us. And you know, we're in Miami where it's hot and sticky, but this is really bad. You know, it's funny. D'Amico Ryans Houston has access to an indoor practice facility, but it's amazing how many teams don't use indoor practice facilities early on because they want to,
I don't want you to feel
acclimate.
That
they want to they want you to acclimate to this weather, even though Houston plays indoors.
By the way, did you get Walt Coleman to sign your hat, or are you still waiting on that?
I've got my new NFL hat in the mail, and I'm holding out for what's his name with the guns? The famous
Hockley.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Ed Hockley to sign this. Of course,
he's
all
retired
of them have
now.
Guns
his son
now
is his son's in the game, but yeah, it's very much. If you can't, you're listening to us, you can't see it. Lance basically looks like a line judge right now with this hat that he's got on.
Pretty much exactly the same, actually, now that I look at it.
Yeah, it's Rob Blow's hat with just a little more color, a little
white on the snapback
in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So
that's nice.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
All right, here we go. Here's what we're doing today. We are going to hit a couple topics off the top, including an alarm that you should have in the preseason. We're gonna fill you in on that. We're gonna also talk about this rookie tight end class, which has a chance to be really good. A lot of early reviews in on this group. I think you're gonna see a lot of these guys starting, a lot of them, you know, playing big minutes. The question is, what is reasonable to expect from that group? So we'll hit on that. We're also gonna go through and discuss a little bit about what Lance wrote about on NFL.com, talking about some pivotal rookies. You did it for all 32 teams. We'll just take one per division and get a chance to touch on those guys. Guys, you're looking for big things this year. But I wanna start out here, Lance. Preseason, I almost tweeted it out. I say it every year. Preseason is a liar. So everything with a chunk of salt, not a grain of salt here. Just be careful drawing any massive conclusions here with what you see in the preseason. And the one thing that clouds it more than anything else is this league for decades now has been much deeper on the defensive side of the ball up front than it has been on the offensive side of the ball up front. And you have the, you know, a lot of these mainstay offensive linemen, they're not playing in these preseason games. So you can come out of the preseason think, man, we have got the best defensive line in the history of football. Or you can come out of this preseason saying, we are not going to be able to block a soul. Our quarterback's going to get killed. And I would caution either one of those extreme opinions at this point in time.
I would too. We lived at the first preseason game with the Houston Texans because they had, you know, Laramie Tunsil didn't play. You've got your right tackle, Titus Howard, is out with an injury and may actually miss a couple of games to start the season. And then you have Scott Questenberry, the starting center last year, who's out for the year, really bad knee injury. Questenberry played well last year, I thought. And so now you have
Questenberry's a big Padre fan, by the way. We used to talk about on the plane. Yep.
I know a UCLA guy, but very athletic. Thought he would have been a nice fit here. I think Juice Scruggs was going to be maybe battling Kenyon Green, actually, for reps at left guard. And then what happened was Juice Scruggs had to slide over to center. You had Austin Deculus, who was a seventh-round pick of the Texans.
Tough outing for Austin in that week one. I watched that tape.
Yeah, it was rough. I had him as a 55 coming out. So I did not think he was an NFL player or even a practice squad guy personally. And I certainly hope he plays well with the Texans. They're missing Charlie Heck, their normal swing tackle. So you had a bunch of backups basically playing. And then CJ Stroud just didn't have time. I mean, he didn't have time in that offense where he's learning to read through progressions. He's learning a new offense. And they were already, oh boy, ooh, this sure didn't look good. And all I can think of was, golly, guys, I mean, we really have to take a step back and just slow yourself. Same thing with Bryce Young. Bryce Young
had seven dropbacks and got walloped on three of them. Got absolutely crushed.
I think he had pressure on five of his seven, I guess. And he got hit hard on three of them. Yeah. So, I mean, for those two guys, that doesn't even count. And that's a great example of what you're talking about. Once depth becomes an issue, once you get to the depth part, you already are overmatched a lot of times starting offensive line versus starting defensive line. I would say there's more defensive lines that would be considered better than the offensive lines in this league if you look at all 32 teams with matchups. And then when you go now when you start taking some starters off the offensive line, even if you take equal starters off the defensive line, it's night and day. The backups are legitimate. They're rotational players on the defensive line in many cases. That's not the case with the offensive line. There's not as many rotational offensive linemen.
Yeah, like none. I mean, like none. Ideally, you're throwing your five out there and you're hoping, you're praying that they stay healthy and they run out there every snap.
It's not a good sign typically. If you have a rotational guard, we see that from time to time. That's typically not a good sign.
No. And so it muddies the picture a little bit. So again, don't draw sweeping conclusions when you watch these preseason games. Look for little signs of hope. Look for some good things here and there that you see, and don't get too carried away, because we have seen plenty of teams look gangbusters in the preseason and you think they're the deepest team in the NFL. And then you realize when you get into the regular season, those 22 at the top of the list, those are the ones that matter.
Forget teams for a second. What about players? What are your thoughts on that? Because you've been in different camps and you've seen this. You've done this job for a while. What about players? I typically find players who get off to a good start individually, they do have a chance to actually have it translate. But it also depends on which units they're going against defensively.
It's good on good. It's good on good. When you see, like I was at Steelers and I saw Darnell Washington in one-on-one drills with TJ Watt more than hold his own, win as many as he lost. And this is in pass protection, you know. So you're seeing that, and then you're seeing how competitive he is when they get into the team periods. And I'm like, okay, he's going to be fine. Like, that's an all pro. That's one of the best players in the league he's going up against.
Or a receiver. Because, you know, my
thought
was,
as a blocker, he's in pass protection.
See, you know, my thought was that in the
future, he could be a tackle. He could be a tackle.
In the future, I wonder. Yeah. I definitely wonder. How big did he look? I heard he's measured in at 260-something. Did he look like that to you? Higher.
So I will say this. I would put my hand on the stack of Bibles and tell you that he is closer to 290 than he is to 275.
Really?
He's huge.
Well, because
he's huge, and like, he can still move, and he's fat. Like, it's good weight.
9% body fat at 270 pounds. No. It just
Lance. Don't even say it. I'm telling you on my mortgage. He does not weigh in the 270s. He's in the 280s.
So the reason I say this, I think our editor, I think there was a time where he wasn't sure. I don't know what the piece was that I wrote, but it may have been the draft profile. Are you sure we want to add this about offensive tackle? And I said, yes, I don't care if I take heat for it, because he's a player who has the frame that could literally grow into a 310-pound player. I mean,
Here's what he weighed the day I was there. I'm putting it in the chat, but you can't say it.
Okay.
You see in the chat here? You looking at it?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's not an F. That's not an F tight end.
No, that is not Chris Cooley.
And he looked great, didn't he?
He looked good. He looked good. But anyways, to get to the back on track, that, seeing good on good, you draw conclusions from that. I remember when I was with the Ravens a million moons ago, Terrell Suggs, first one-on-one rep, went against Jonathan Ogden and beat him. Now, he might not have beat J.O. the whole rest of the camp, but that first one, you're like, okay, if you can beat him, you can beat anybody. Like, this is somebody it's going to work. It's going to translate to the next level. Those are the things you're trying to glean, and that's going to happen in these joint practices more so than anything else.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I love the idea of joint practices. I think they do need to stay under control, and you don't want anything to, you know.
Are you saying this as an analyst or as an official right now? I don't know.
As an analyst, and if I take off my side judge hat for a second, I think it's fine to have, it's more competitive. I think the practice time you get is more competitive. We know we've gone to 3 preseason games. I actually would be fine with preseason games because I think, and this just comes from being a coach's son, you know, my dad had issues with not being able to get quote unquote hands-on linemen for true technique work as much as, you know, with every collective bargaining agreement, there's fewer and fewer practices, fewer padded practices. And so he really missed that because he didn't think they had a chance to teach technique as much as maybe he wanted to. And so I don't know. I think the 3 games are important now, less for getting starters ready, less than ever before.
So
and more for GMs getting a look, right?
Let me run this by you. So I was talking to a GM about this the other day. We were talking about, gosh, it's just for a fan, it's not a great experience coming to these preseason games.
Right.
So we were kind of going back and forth on something. This is what we came up with and said, okay, this could be something where everybody gets what they want. You come out, you come to the stadium, you get starters 7-on-7. So I'm seeing the stars of these teams, you know, 7-on-7, the skill guys. So you go 7-on-7 for
pads.
Yeah, you can be shorts. You can be shorts and shoulder pads for those guys, whatever you want to do. You can be full padded up. Doesn't matter. But no thud. It's all tag off. We're going to get a little bit of 7-on-7 with the front line guys. Then after that's over, we're going to have a move the ball scrimmage with your twos and threes, whoever you need to get a look at. And we're going to play, you know, say it's a half, you know, maybe it's 2 full quarters. And then you're also, while the 7-on-7 is going on the other end of the field, you have the frontline offense and defensive linemen doing one-on-ones. So they're getting a chance to go up against different rushers. You're getting a chance to see different tackles. You're getting a chance to kind of hone your craft against different guys. It's a senior bowl practice. It's more of a controlled environment. And the only difference would be that when you get to the move the ball session, that's going to be the younger guys. We get a chance to evaluate some of these younger players. But as a fan, I mean, you tell me I get to – I do the Charger games. You tell me I get to go – I've got Chargers Saints. So I'm going to go see Herbert and Carr in 7-on-7 for a little bit, and then they're going to, you know, put the backups in and move the ball. I would rather watch that than to go out there and watch the backups for 4 full quarters.
I love the idea of a scrimmage. I've always felt like, you know, if the XFL or World – or not World League, but USFL or whoever, I've always felt like a minor league – you could become a true minor league if it was less about selling tickets and playing games, and it was more of a controlled scrimmage to where you're putting things on tape for NFL teams to take a look at, or, you know, even if practice squad guys were able to play in a concurrent league that was adjacent to the NFL season. So I do like that idea because it is less opportunity for injury, at least through physical contact. There's nothing you can do about non-contact injuries. I like the idea. I mean, I like senior bowl practices. I do like the fact that we can move around. So I think you'd have you'd have to move things for the fans to be able to see differently. But I actually do. I like that idea a lot. And I think you could start by having joint practices starting on a Wednesday. And that week you get up to the preseason game and it's just a continuation of the joint practices. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, we can go on the marketing side of things too. If you wanted to do it where it's 2 days you spend with a team, and it's basically the function of the joint practices like they're doing now. Most of these teams spend 2 days. So we'll put both those days inside the stadium. And then guess what? Outside the stadium, we'll have NFL fan experience. You want to go out there and they'll have all the games and food and all that kind of set up. It almost kind of make it like when I was – you might have had – I don't know if they have this in Texas. They have jamborees in Texas. I know in Louisiana. Yeah. Yeah.
So well, no, jamborees, that's Louisiana. I was in Louisiana, yeah.
Yeah. So when I was at Northeast Louisiana and all my teammates were talking about in high school, and they're like, oh, my team has their jamboree this week. I'm like, jamboree? What the heck's a jamboree? And it's basically like a scrimmage, and it could be three teams that are going there, and you're going to play against each other kind of round robin style. But it was like a big event, you know, to kind of kick off their season. So there's ways to creatively do it. I just think as a fan, I'd still like to, man, if I'm going to go out there to the preseason, I would like to see some of the frontline guys. Although we talked about this, I've talked about this previously with Bucky. Fascinating to me. There's no secret that the Kansas City Chiefs get rolling every year. They hit in camp. Patrick Mahomes is starting. He's going to play. They said the starter is going to play almost a half in their game this week. Josh Allen for the Bills is going to be starting this week. That's so wild. Yeah. Some of these teams don't take the we're sitting everybody approach. Those are good teams, by the way, that have
aspirations higher. They want to get out of the gate faster. Under your – and I know, Daniel, you've got – I mean, I think you do a really good job on TV, on a lot of the stuff you do. I do think – yeah, I can tell you're angling for a competition committee spot right now, which is fine. I'm obviously.
Well, do you have poll? Do you have poll there with that hat?
I'm going for an official's job with my hat. You're trying to literally take over the competition committee.
Hey, true story. Yeah, he's good. I think we'll leave Roger alone. He's got that thing on lockdown. This is a true story. When I was a kid, we had to read maybe sixth grade. We had to read like an autobiography for a book report or whatever. And so I went to the library, as people our age actually used to do, to pick out a book. I got a biography. I might be the only person who's ever read this book. God bless him. It was an autobiography of Jerry Markbright, legendary NFL official. I don't know. I have no idea how I stumbled upon it. I don't know how many of those things got into circulation, but I know one thing. There's one sixth grade kid who wrote a book report on an NFL official's autobiography.
Wow.
It was a good read. Yeah. Jerry Markbright.
That's unbelievable. I'm trying to look up the book right now.
He's one of those guys, like if you see him, you'll recognize him. Like you'll
Oh yeah. No, I recognize him. I'm looking for the book.
See if you find
I'm
it.
I'm looking to see what the book is. Here it is. Last Call.
Did you find it?
Last Call. Memoirs of an NFL referee.
That's what I read. How long was it?
You can get it at Thrift Books for $5.79 in case you were wait a minute. There's also Born to Referee, My Life on the Gridiron. There's actually somehow Markbright has done.
He's got two?
There's two different. Yeah, there's two.
Can't recall which one I got. I'll be honest with you. I do not remember.
I'm trying to see if one of them looks more kid related.
Give me the release date. Can you give me the release date on that?
Oh, let's see. I'm looking for Last Call. Wait, Born to Referee looks like the type of – this looks like the cover that we would have seen. Did it look like this?
Oh, yeah. Yep, that looks familiar. That looks a little familiar to me. What year are we talking here?
I'm trying to see the release date on this one.
It's got to be 80s. Got to be like late 80s.
This is 1988.
Yes, that's it.
This is it.
That was like, I would have been like sixth grade. I'm telling you, this thing was hot off the press. I jumped right on that thing. I mean,
you were an early adapter. It's still available. If people want to go to Amazon, they've got that there.
Check that out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk about some rookie tight ends expectations. Do we see a historical year this year? We'll also get into Lance's pivotal is the word we're using. Pivotal rookies in each division. We'll get to that right after this. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. All right, Lance. Tight ends, rookies. we don't usually see them produce massive numbers. To give you an example on that, the record that we have right now for yards by a rookie tight end is held by Mike Ditka. It's been a minute. That was 1961, and it's not like it was 1,400 yards. Ditka had 1,076 yards, 12 touchdowns, getting the end zone, Big Mike, but 1,076. Now, Kyle Pitts, I thought when he came into the league, he would destroy that. He's one of the highest graded tight ends I've ever evaluated. He came just short. He got 1,026 yards, only one touchdown in 21, though, did not get in the end zone much. But as you sure have been doing, I've visited camps, I've talked to people, you see clips. And we really liked this tight end group coming into the draft last year. We talked an awful lot about it. And then it looks like where we are now, we've got guys that are not only going to be contributors, they're going to be starters. And then some of them have a chance to be real key pieces here for their offense. So what should be the reasonable expectation for the tight ends, in your opinion? And is there two or three of them that you think, just based off the situation in they're in, that they're equipped to have a really good year?
Yeah, I really do think. Well, number one, can you tell me, who was the only tight end ever to win Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Eric Green.
No, it's a trick question. None, ever.
Really?
No Offensive Rookie of the Year, no offensive lineman. No offensive lineman or tight end has ever won Offensive Rookie of the Year, ever. And this award dates back into the 60s. It's never happened. And I, like you, was very high on Kyle Pitts. I was very high on this class, the deepest class that I've taken a look at. And to me, your top three, it depends on top three or four tight ends. There was all differences to them. And I think the two that stand out to me, look, Sam Laporta, if you look over there in Detroit, there's not a lot of weapons at the tight end position right now who automatically would play ahead of Laporta. I just think Laporta has to prove he can block a little bit. I'm a little concerned about how he's going to do as a blocker. But for me, my number one tight end, just by a shade, was Luke Musgrave for all the things that people are seeing in camp. Because to me, on tape, man, I could see it. I thought the kid was terrific. He's big. He's athletic. He can run. He can separate. I think he really translates well to the NFL. And one of the reasons I think he's got a chance to be to maybe even approach the 900-yard mark is because I don't think these wide receivers that they have over there are great at getting wide open. And I think Jordan Love, who's still kind of a rookie almost in terms of it's his first year as a full-time starter, I think he wants to find the most open receivers he can find. I think a lot of these young quarterbacks struggle to get used to the NFL open and what it looks like. And I think Musgrave, the way that they're going to move him around, the way he can play inside, he can play outside, he can play in the slot. I think that he's going to be a safety blanket for Jordan Love. A lot of young quarterbacks love to find talented wide receivers with athleticism, or tight ends with athleticism. So I think he's going to get a lot of touches over there and a lot of targets. I think Musgrave is a guy who could really see a lot of action. But to me, you're still looking at Dalton Kincaid. I mean, we know that there's been some, it's been a little weird with Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. We know how incredibly talented he is. We know that the quarterback's going to find him. But Gabe Davis has been feast or famine a little bit. And when I look at Dalton, and you and I both know, look, you can love Cole Beasley from the slot when he was there, but this guy's a slot receiver too, with size and unbelievable hands. So it doesn't matter if you're a receiver or tight end, you're a slot. Now he's automatic with the hands. And he could become really a guy that is hard to match up with for defenses. I think Dalton Kincaid and Luke Musgrave are the two, for me, that have a chance to have real high impacts, more so than the normal rookies out there at the position.
Can I give you kind of who he reminded me of a little bit here? Just, I watched the preseason for these guys. So Musgrave, he kind of reminds me of Jimmy Graham a little bit, just how he looks. So he's so big and he runs so well. Now, I think that his production is going to come a couple different ways. He's going to get production on shallow crosses. They're going to get him out in the flat. They're going to get him down the seam. That's where he's going to be on the move, and he's going to be able to make things happen after the catch with his speed. He's going to be able to climb on top. He's, all that's going to be him. the difference between him and Kincaid. Kincaid is going to be able to sift and sort through zones and be able to play in space and feel the game a little bit better and be able to collect. You know, maybe it's third and seven. He's going to be your option route guy. He's going to be able to do all that stuff. See the defense, identify it, feel it, separate, settle in soft spots and zones. I think Musgrave, from an instinct standpoint, is not at, you know, in that similar vein. I think you're going to use his athleticism. So there's different styles of what you're going to ask these guys to do. And I think Laporta would be the third one to me. Those are the three guys I'm looking for having, you know, really, really prominent roles for their offenses. Laporta is a little bit of a mixture. He can give you a little bit of both. He can really, really run. I think he has a little bit of a feel in there as well.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And that's the thing about Kincaid for me, is that whatever you want to do offensively, I think he's going to work. He's a wide receiver in a tight end's body in terms of his savvy with route running, his instincts as a pass catcher. He is going to be more polished. Musgrave has a lot of upside and he can win with athleticism. But you're right, from a polish standpoint, he's really not that close to Musgrave, because he's not that close to Kincaid, because Kincaid played a lot more football. Musgrave hasn't played that much football up to this point.
Yeah, but I am bullish on those. We talked about Darnell Washington. The one thing I haven't heard much about, and I haven't seen much about him, is Mayer. I don't know what's going on with him with the Raiders. I don't know if you'd seen anything there yet at all.
No, I haven't. You know, I considered him in my pivotal rookie conversation, but I'd read a little bit about Mayer. He is, because I tried to catch up with all the rookies when I wrote my pivotal rookie article that we'll talk about in a little bit. I think Mayer is, when you look at who's out there to catch passes and who the quarterback is, it wouldn't surprise me if Mayer is there. I would think they might run a lot more two tight stuff over there for Jimmy G, because I think he'll be more comfortable in a lot of two tight. So that should give Mayer a chance to, you know, be a 500 yard guy. I don't think it's going to be a massive, a massive plus statistically, but I do think the way he blocks in the running game could really play a big part in helping the Raiders lean on the running game to really help Garoppolo out. Cause they want to run a football. They did it well last year. You know they're going to want to do it this year. That's something Mayer does a good job of, to me, is get after defensive ends and can kind of soften the edge a little bit.
If I were you and I was going to be driving wearing that hat, I'm not using my blinker. I'm just using all hand signals out the window. I think it just goes. I think it works. I think it fits. Yeah.
Just giving the first down signals.
I'm going to be making it. We're making what is it? Right turn, then the arm out. Yeah.
It's like the bicycle stuff.
Yeah. The thing is, like, as you get older, like, I can't really put my arm down this way anymore because my shoulders.
I'm telling you, and this has everything about this feels official too. Like, it feels, it's kind of foamy right here.
Yeah,
I got it from the league store. I got it from the NFL store that we can order from. It probably is something that the league.
Can you send me a link, by the way? Apparently, there's this fictitious store I've heard about all these years, and I somehow managed never to get a link to the said store.
I know. This is the first time I found it. I didn't see that we got any kind of special codes to get big discounts. I just bought some NFL stuff that was on clearance. I'm like, yeah, I'll just do some early Christmas shopping for the kids. Look what daddy got from the league store.
Like, when you go to the mall, do you think that people think like, oh my gosh, this guy, I think he's an official. I think that's
why
I
wear it.
I know I've seen him.
I go in and I try to get, you know, the Annie's, the pretzels things.
Yeah.
I try to get discounts over there with this. Hey, how you guys doing? You guys ever watch pro football? You ever heard of Jerry Markbright? He's an author and an official. You may know him as an author. You look young. You've probably read about him. Scarlet Letter and Referee in the Memoirs of Jerry Markbright.
Oh gosh. All right, let's get to your pivotal rookies, as I'm crying, literally tears crying here. AFC East, give me a pivotal rookie. Pivotal is a dumb word, by the way. Pivotal is a word that somebody that went to a state school is trying to sound smart. As someone who went from a state school, I can say that.
So let me just say, pivotal to me, I decided to give it my own. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the best. I think they may be the most important for their team. And then for some teams, obviously, it means different things. We already talked about Dalton Kincaid. I'm going to give you another one. Yeah. I think Will McDonald from the Jets.
Yeah.
When you look at the Jets, you could come up with a couple of different guys here on this one. Joe Tippmann could end up being the pivotal rookie if he wins a starting position. But rushing the passer is something that they've really wanted to get better at in New York for a long time. And I think Will McDonald, who's going to be a wave rusher, he's not a guy that's going to be setting edges and stopping a run on first down. But to me, the Jets have a chance to really, we know they can shut down one side of the field with Sauce Gardner. I think Will Anderson is just a pin the ears back and go type of pass rusher. Will McDonald, if he can, he's bendy, he's flexible, he's got a great inside spin. I think his ability to assail the pocket is really quote unquote pivotal for the Jets' potential to win the division. They've got to get a rush. They've got to get a better rush. And that guy has some real ability. He has translatable NFL traits, I think, to get into the pocket early on.
Yeah. I mean, think about it from a baseball standpoint. The Jets, every game is going to be a bullpen game. You don't need guys to give you six innings. You're going to just roll guys out there and say, two innings, give me everything you got. So if you throw, normally you throw 93, 94 over six, seven innings, you're going to be throwing 97, 98 because you're only going to have to play two innings. We got so many guys, we're going to keep all you guys fresh, just rolling, 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 rolling. And guess what? Whoever lines up next to Quinnen Williams, you're getting one-on-ones. You're not going to ever see a double with him there. So it's going to be a feast on the outside. They've got six ends they can roll through there.
Yeah, I think he's got defensive rookie of the year potential. He's kind of a long shot because he won't play every down.
He's going to have like nine sacks in like 20 tackles. Like he's just going to have like Houston had last year in Detroit. If you look up James Houston's numbers,
look how they used him.
Similar to that. Yeah, that might be the blueprint here early on as he's getting his feet wet.
I think so, especially for a player his size. He's a little lighter, but he's tough, and he has skill as a rusher. I'll go to the AFC North now, and I'm going to look at the Bengals. I went DJ Turner. The reason I went DJ Turner in this one, he's the cornerback from Michigan, is one of the things we saw at Kansas City, and they aspire to be Kansas City, right? To be the man, you got to beat the man. One of the things we saw at Kansas City is rookie cornerbacks, having depth at the cornerback position is extremely important. And if you can play in the slot and play outside, which I think Turner has the ability to do because of his speed and his short area route matching, I think that gives him that much more value. And if there's any injuries at all, Turner, to me, is one of those keys for a team that has aspirations of winning a Super Bowl. You need to have guys in the secondary that can play. And so whether he plays well or doesn't play well, that's why I think he could be the pivotal Bengal, because you're going to be facing Kansas City, right? You may be facing the Chargers. You may be facing the Bills or the Dolphins. There's a ton of offense in the AFC. And so having depth at cornerback and a guy who can play inside or outside, to me, is extremely valuable. And that's why I thought he was pivotal in that particular instance.
All right. I need you to check the chat here on the video. And I'm just going to let you know that that's an interesting call, but I'd like to challenge.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. We have a challenge. Do I need to look into the booth? Okay. Daniel Jeremiah is challenging the call on the field. Okay. Who do you think is the most pivotal?
I just wanted to hear you say with that hat on, the previous opinion is under review.
The previous opinion is under review. And then I can do this. Something I can put it over my head and look into the way they used to look into it. You always get a theme. It was old Houston Rockets the last time I was up for the Senior Bowl.
No, this is the Jerry Mark Bright episode.
There's a theme that develops.
If Jerry Mark Bright's name is not in the description of this episode, then Nabil, we have failed as a podcast.
You have failed miserably. And people will read it like, how did Mark Bright come up on this show?
AFC South. What we got?
I've got one for you. Houston Texans. You know, I said Stroud and Anderson, they're going to have their ups and downs.
Low-hanging
fruit indeed. Tank Dell, if he plays well or doesn't play well, he'll have...
I drafted him in a fantasy league, by the way.
I love Tank Dell. I think Tank Dell's not guardable. He wasn't guardable in the season. He wasn't guardable at the Senior Bowl. He's not going to be guardable now. But I think Juice Scruggs is the most pivotal, and here's why. He's going to step in a rookie into the center position. If he plays well in an outside zone-based scheme with Bobby Slowick, it can be a big, big deal. I mean, rookies need to be smart, and by all accounts, he is an intelligent and high-character football guy, Juice Scruggs. But being able to protect the passer, Kenyon Green was a mess last year at left guard. So if he's starting there at left guard this year and you got a rookie at center, you know, Juice Scruggs is really going to have to play well for that offense to reach even its potential right now with the rookie quarterback. And C.J. Stroud, they've invested a lot in C.J. Stroud. They really need him to start his career off with a certain level of confidence. And so I think from a pivotal standpoint, having Juice Scruggs, the center from Penn State, who I thought was overdrafted a little bit, but I still like him a lot. And you know, just like I do, that was a name that was really hot with a lot of teams. Everyone seemed to really like Juice Scruggs. I think that I think he's going to be pivotal for the Texans, having a rookie who plays intelligently and consistently as a run blocker and pass blocker. That's big when you have a rookie quarterback.
Yep, I like that one. How about the AFC West?
AFC West, I will give you, well, okay, I'll let you get into a little bit. I went Quentin Johnston. I didn't really think there was another one with the Chargers, but you tell me if there's someone else that you would point to. But for me, it's really about adding that next weapon. If you want to, you're going to have to outscore a team at some point. You're going to have to just put a big number up. And I think Johnston, he has some things he has to prove a little bit, but I think Quentin Johnston's ability to get down the field when he needs to and his run after catch stuff, to me, that's a really, really big deal for the Chargers and could really add some juice to an offense. It's starting to me a little bit long in the tooth from a wide receiver standpoint. So I didn't know your thoughts on Quentin Johnston or any other rookie out there that you think is a pivotal rookie.
Yeah, I mean, look, early returns have been really positive. I've been out there for three practices. I've been obviously called their preseason game. Now, Quentin dropped a couple balls in the first preseason game, and then he was out of the game, and you're thinking, oh, gosh, this is going to end up being a storyline. You know, it's a question. It's about his hands. And then they got him back in for one play in the second quarter, and he's in the slot. Shows you some big time twitch and separation, catches a touchdown, and it kind of changed the narrative coming out of that game. My thing on him is live with some of the drops. Like, don't be shocked, don't be surprised, don't even be upset about it. He's going to have some drops, but he's going to be able to offset those with big plays down the field, which is his role. That's what his role is going to be. But I would tell you, Lance, like Scott Matlock, if he doesn't start, he's going to get a lot of minutes here. The defensive tackle.
Well, he's an impressive physical specimen. I mean, he really jumped out on tape. That's
like a freak. 6'4", 300, sixth round. Yeah. This is on the heels of last year getting Sawyer in that round. So they've kind of, you know, found a little something here in the trenches late in the draft. And then Tui Pelotu is going to be the third end. He's going to play a lot. He's going to be really helpful, especially on rundowns. It's odd to say for a guy who led the nation in sacks, but heavy-handed point of attack is probably going to be his calling card early in the part of his career. And then Darius Davis, who had a punt return for a touchdown the other day, is going to be their returner, so he'll have
Tui Pelotu. What's he playing at? What kind of weight is he playing?
I think he's probably 265, 270.
That's a good weight. Yeah. He'll be very physical, and he's a really good athlete as well, has really good feet, I think, the way he plays. NFC North, I went Darnell Wright with the Bears. I mean, look, Terrell Smith, I reached out and to Bear Contact and was asking about the corners. And Terrell Smith, who's banged up right now, and Tyreek Stevenson are both playing really, really well when they've been out there. So I do think that corner position is important. But you've got so much hanging in the balance with your quarterback right now with Justin Fields. Darnell Wright's ability to play at a reasonably high level, to play, I think, above average, could have an impact on the Bears making one of the biggest jumps in pro football this year. I really think with some of the moves that they've made and some of the draft picks they have, if Darnell Wright plays well, that could have a really big impact on Justin Fields' future and the consistency of the Bears' offense.
I would say real quick that on those guys, on Stevenson specifically, because for those who don't know, Lance and I talk darn near every day as we get into the spring. Like, we are talking about these players we're studying for the draft. It's great.
Scott Matlock came up late in the conversation.
He did. But Tyreek Stevenson, I don't remember if you remember this conversation, but to me, like the kind of like the sneaky glue ingredient for corners when you self-evaluate, look at guys that I've missed on, look at guys that I've been able to hit on. Over the last 5 years, I would say specifically, because of what these offensive coordinators have done to pull corners into run support, that toughness is non-negotiable. And if you look at the guys who have flamed out, usually that's a trait that they're missing. And you look at the guys who have overachieved, usually that's a strength for them, is their toughness. And Tyreek Stevenson was a bad dude, man. He was so tough and so competitive. You can nitpick this or that, but at the end of the day, when you've got some size and speed and you are incredibly competitive and tough, like, that's a guy you bet on, and it's not a surprise that he's off to a really good start.
No, and it's not just that, but the toughness manifests itself in terms of competitive catch situations. I mean, you're not a tough guy in one area, but then not tough in the other. If you're tough, you're tough. It's just a matter of physically if you can hold up. And he's got the build for it. So does Terrell Smith.
I remember sending you a clip of that. I think it was the Florida State game where he had been so in this receiver's head that eventually the receiver just snapped, and you see him trying to punch him and hit him in the face and all that stuff. And I'm like, I think he broke him, Lance. I think Stevenson broke this dude.
And he's a press man corner who is, the only issues he has to me are he's not a zone corner. You don't want to put him in zone situations. He had some real issues. But if you get a press, if he gets to press and stay in your pocket, he's going to be tough. And I remember talking to Alonzo Highsmith, who's the GM over with the Miami Hurricanes for Mario Cristobal. And Zoe and I were talking about him a little bit. He said, he's tough. Like, he's going to be a good NFL player. You know, Alonzo Highsmith has had that job in the NFL evaluation, front office guy.
And Zoe is one of the toughest human beings that's ever put on cleats. Ever.
Yeah. And he loved this kid's toughness too. And he knows fake tough. And Tyreek Stevenson is not fake tough, not by any stretch of the imagination. So he could end up being, he could end up being one of the pivotal rookies. Frankly, I think two or three could be for the Bears. Moving to the AFC South, it was kind of, Bijan Robinson.
AFC South, right? Yeah.
Bryce Young, Brian Breesy were all the guys. But I said Cody Mock for the Bucs because Kalijah Kancey, I think, is going to be a good player. But they really need to get that offense back on track. And I think Mock's transition from tackle to guard and learning to play against higher level of competition is going to be quote unquote pivotal for whether or not Baker Mayfield or whoever ends up at quarterback can get on track enough for that offense to matter this year. The offense was not good last year. And so I think Cody Mock is kind of pivotal in that regard. Learning to play it's a hard transition to make, but if he can make it, it's not a super tough division, I don't think. You know, the Bucks can be a little better than people think if he can play well.
I like that. By the way, if Kyle Trask ends up getting that job, I mean, what are we going with Kyle's kids? Like, what's that section of the stadium where we have like the Trask fan club? What are we calling that thing?
I like Kyle's kids. That's not bad. Kyle Smiles. Where he does a dental thing where kids get
nice.
Braces.
Yes.
Yeah, every touchdown, teeth whitening,
as well as we do, we help, with people that can't afford dental care, we get them proper dental care.
That's right. I like that. And maybe we can get, maybe Tampa can get an advertiser in and bring a little money into it. So we're also generating revenue for the Bucks. So you're welcome.
Maybe he sells organizers that get donated for charity, and they keep you on Trask instead of on task.
Keep you on Trask. I like
there
that.
There we go.
I like that. That's a good one, too. You're king of the puns.
Yeah, there we go. NFC West.
NFC West. I think the one that would make the most sense, the one that has the biggest impact here would be it's a first rounder, and it's Jackson Smith and Jigba. Now, I do want to also mention Jake Moody is a kicker for the 49ers. I think that is worth looking at because you just had a very consistent Robbie Gould that you parted ways with, and now you're going to have a rookie kicker coming in. DJ, like I do, the amount of pressure that is on a kicker is immense as we get late in the season. 49ers have high, high hopes. A rookie kicker, I know it kind of falls under the radar, but I think Jake Moody with the 49ers could end up being a very pivotal player like a lot of kickers could. But Jackson Smith and Jigba with Seattle. So DK is a certain kind of – he's kind of a niche receiver, right, in terms of the routes he's going to run. And then you've got a guy who's
Lockett.
Kind of a jitterbug wide receiver who can do a lot of different things
Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, Tyler Lockett. Now you put a bigger guy with great hands who can run possession routes, and that's that third piece of the puzzle. Bucky always talks about the basketball team at wide receiver. Now Geno Smith has that basketball team at wide receiver, truly three different types of wide receivers. You know, people kind of sleep on 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions was the year that Geno had last year. Had a really good year. Is there a chance you look at what's going on at quarterback with San Francisco? Could it be a little unsettled? We'll see. I mean, if Purdy plays like he did last year, they're fine. But can he? We'll find out. Don't like Arizona much. Rams, we've got to see what the Rams are going to do. Is there any reason to believe that a team that had 9 wins and surprised people last year can't get even better offensively and maybe make a little bit more noise and become a 10-win season this year? I think Jackson Smith and Jigba really helps that offense go from being a good offense to a very good offense quickly.
Just trying to see as we get to the end of the episode. Can you just give me one of these? Can we
just give you time out? You just call time out.
Yeah, we just gave you time out right there.
You just gave
it
time out.
I had to back the computer up a little bit.
We're on Sportsman.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Golly, Lance. It is amazing. That is
a good hat.
It is a great hat. It's a great hat. All right, that's great stuff. Again, you can find the rest of the list. Lance did this for all 32 teams. Again, pivotal rookies that we've got. One for every team. You can find that on NFL.com. What else are you working on, man? What else can I plug for you here?
No, that's right now. That's it. I'm just getting ready to. I'm getting my scouting list together. I'm putting my names together for who I'm going to be looking up, and so I'm just going to get ready to start taking an early look at some of the players, writing some, you know, just some early ideas about who players are physically, what they are, and start to gather my ideas. I like to take it easy. I like to take it easy after the draft's done. I go in cruise control a little bit now, so I just come on for the only thing I do is. I do youth football games, obviously, referee. I will do some baseball World Series watching, obviously, because of the Astros every single year. Yeah. And then, by the way, how's it going with Juan Soto? I hear he's having some problems with some of his teammates. Is everything okay?
It hasn't been great.
With your Saudi oil money that you have there in San Diego?
Were you able to buy the team you wanted? So somehow we're still in it. I don't know how, but we're 4.5 back. We just need a nice little win streak here. We play a lot of teams that are ahead of us.
Yeah.
So we're not done yet. Here's my one homework assignment for you. So because of your status with NFL media, right. You can get credentials to college games. So you as a media member, you can be a credentialed media member. So here's your assignment. I want you to go to like a University of Houston game. I want you to get a notepad, like a notepad like this. I want you to wear that hat. Yep. And I want you to follow the college officials around during pregame and just act like you're taking notes. These guys are going to think that the NFL is scouting them, that if they have a good game today, they're moving up, baby. We are moving up. Just fall around.
That's so good.
Hey,
what's your name?
Hey, 27, side judge. Bill? Is it Bill? No, it's Steve. All right. Thanks, Steve.
With this hat, too. After a bang bang call, the call on the field has been overturned. First down, University of Houston. Hey, what's your name? What's your last name? The guy who just had his call overturned. I knew you'd have something to end the show.
But everybody will know you in Houston, so you almost need to go somewhere where they don't know you, and then just go there and just sit up in the press box with the hat on, and then when there's there's a holding pill, just go, dang it, Billy.
It's the same idea. The same stuff I deal with all the time. Dadgummit! I'm gonna have to make a call to the office. This is not good.
Oh gosh, that's so good.
Well, there goes his week.
Yep. Hey, or get somebody to video you while you're on the sideline, and if you just go to the official and go, hey, like your pants. Hey, you got to pull them up. Pull them up a little bit. And just see if they think you're some kind of an authority figure with that hat on and see if they do it.
That's right. That's right. The officials like, hey, you guys have a dress code too. We got to be in code, guys.
Come on, man. Come on now.
I like it. There's a lot of things I can do with this hat. We'll see if I can get a speeding ticket with it.
Yeah, well, that's not going to happen. All right. Again, to summarize, Lance's Pivotal Rookies, NFL.com. Find it. Jerry Mark Wright's book on being an official. Go get that thing. $4.99. Yeah. Is that what it's running right now?
$5.99 at Thrifty Books.
$5.99 Thrifty Books. You won't regret it. At least that's what 14-year-old me or 13-year-old me, whatever it was, read that book, thought it was amazing. So, and I don't know where the report is, but I'm sure that 6th grade, so 12 years old. 12 years old, you know, the people, they're getting like, you know, these reports on, you know, George Washington and Jackie Robinson. And the teacher's like, Jerry, what is this?
Jerry Mark Wright, was he in the American Revolution? don't remember reading about him being with the founding fathers. Yeah. Well, he wasn't founding fathers, but he was one of the very first.
Jefferson, Adams, actually, Mark Bright. That was the big three.
First ones that didn't have to do the pull down on the holding. He would just grab the wrist for a holding. He didn't do the full pulling down of the wrist. He just grabbed it, and it was still a holding call. God, Jerry started that.
Yeah, what a book. All right. Anyways, this was fun today, Lance. Thanks for filling in for us. We've got Bucky. I'm sure we'll be back next week. You're the best, buddy. Appreciate you. All right,
we'll see you guys.
All right. We'll see you next time right here on Move the Sticks. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.